Hi, Michelle Florendo here, and welcome to Ask a Decision Engineer. Listen in and find out how to untangle big decisions with less stress and more clarity. On today's show, I'll talk about how not all decisions are created equal, and how you should decide which decisions to put your energy into and what to do with the rest of them. Recently, I led a virtual office hours on decision-making, where members of Srinivas Rao's unmistakable creative tribe brought questions they wanted me to answer. One attendee expressed how she felt awful at decision-making. Even choosing what she was going to have for dinner that night was paralyzing. Does this sound familiar to anyone? She wanted to know how to get better at making those decisions. And honestly, my answer is don't. I've encountered this before. People who tell me that they run into indecision and analysis paralysis on a daily basis, from choosing what they're going to wear to choosing what they're going to eat or figuring out what they want to do. Whether you're the type of person who encounters analysis paralysis and the fear of decision making on a daily basis, or you're the type of person who only feels a little bit of that hesitation when you're encountering big decisions, it's worth pausing to really examine what's going on here. When faced with the decision, if you're feeling a negative feeling, stop and pause and examine what is the feeling that's arising. Is it stress? Anxiety? Perhaps fear? If someone's feeling a bit of fear in the decision-making process, I'll often probe and ask, "What do you think the fear is of?" And people will tell me, "I'm afraid of making the wrong decision." Or, "What if things turn out badly?" Or, "What if I make a bad decision again? How could I possibly trust myself in the future?" When I hear answers like this, it's a signal that people have fallen victim to a common fallacy when it comes to the quality of the decision. Most people conflate the quality of a decision with the quality of the outcome. What do I mean by that? Often when I ask people, "What makes a good decision?" they'll say, "Well, if things turn out the way that you want them to." So then when I probe and ask, "Well, what makes for a bad decision?" they'll say, "Well, when things don't turn out the way that you want them to." Ah. So here, they're thinking that the quality of a decision is the same as the quality of an outcome. If the outcome is good, the decision was good. If the outcome is bad, the decision was bad. But that's not actually true. Here's a classic example. Let's say that someone's been out drinking, and then they have to decide whether or not to drive home or to get a ride back home. I think we can all agree that for the safety of that person, the safety of them around them, they should not drive home if they've been drinking. So let's say they do drive home in their own car, and nothing happens. Good outcome. Was that a good decision? I would say not. Or let's say that they get a ride home, but they still get in an accident because someone else who was drinking decided to drive that night. Bad outcome, but was that a bad decision? So you see, because outcomes are not only a function of our own decisions, but also a function of factors that we can't control, we can't equate the quality of our decisions to the quality of the outcome. You can make a good decision and still have a bad outcome, because things outside of your control didn't turn out well. You can also make a bad decision and still have a good outcome because you got lucky. So if you find stress, anxiety, or fear arising because you're afraid of making a bad decision, put your energy into making as good of a decision you can with the information that you have, and understand that that's really the piece that you can control. Okay. So that's been quite a tangent on the topic of the quality of decisions and the quality of outcomes and how they're separate and distinct. But I wanted to make sure we were on the same page, because oftentimes when fear and anxiety comes up in the decision-making process, it's because people are falling victim to the misconception that those two are the same. But let's go back to where I started this episode, with the woman who had trouble making decisions, big and small. What I want to focus on today is really understanding what are the decisions that deserve the time and energy and attention on the process, and which ones don't. Not all decisions are created equal. Some are worthy of the energy it takes to really process a decision, while some aren't. In Daniel Kahneman's famous book, Thinking Fast and Slow, he talks about how humans use two different systems for making decisions, System 1 and System 2. System 1 tends to be impulsive, automatic, and intuitive, where System 2 is thoughtful, deliberate, and calculating. We have these two systems for decision-making because they're useful in different settings. There are going to be times where we need to make decisions impulsively or intuitively. This is our fast system. And there are going to be times where we need to make decisions more thoughtfully and deliberately, slowly. But you don't want to mismatch the system you're using for the situation that you're facing. So for example, if you're holding an ice cream cone and you trip and are falling, you wouldn't want to use your slow system 2 to decide, do I let go of the ice cream cone to catch myself? You just let system 1 do its job. Nor would you use system 1, your fast system, to decide where to invest your life savings. Leave that to system 2, your thoughtful, deliberate, calculating, slower thinking system. Much of what I talk about in my work in the world of decision engineering relates to System 2, that thoughtful, deliberate, calculating system. So when you face decisions, think about which ones are the ones that you really do need to activate System 2, your thinking slow system, for. And then let your System 1, the thinking fast system, take care of the decisions that don't require that slow, thoughtful, deliberate thinking. One of the reasons why it's important to delineate which decisions really need that System 2 type of thinking versus System 1 is because we have a finite amount of energy to dedicate to big decisions. You may have heard of the term decision fatigue. It's a thing. Decision fatigue is a term that was coined by social psychologist Roy F. Baumeister, and the concept relates to the fact that we have a finite reservoir of energy to use. So save it for the important stuff. When we're using our System 2 thinking, it takes up energy, and eventually, at the end of the day, we may run out. It's for this reason, the avoidance of decision fatigue, that leaders like President Barack Obama or Steve Jobs had work uniforms. Barack Obama famously wore a blue or gray suit almost every single day, because as the President of the United States, he had bigger, much more important decisions that he needed to dedicate his energy to, and so he automated or eliminated the decisions that he didn't want to think about. So know that decision fatigue is a thing, and you cannot use your System 2 thinking on every single decision that comes by. Figure out how to reserve your System 2 thinking for the choices that really matter. Decision fatigue aside, also know that it's just simply not worth the stress to spend your System 2 slow thinking on every single decision that crosses your plate. In American society in particular, we are socialized to want to maximize everything. We don't just want a good decision, we want to know that we've made the best decision. But even though we have this intrinsic drive to want to know that we've made the best decision, consider your ROI, or return on investment. Really, what is the incremental benefit here of spending so much time and energy on this particular decision? Think about, what is it costing you to spend this time and energy here? One way to think about this is, if you earn a certain amount of dollars per hour for every incremental hour or half hour that you're spending on this decision problem, is it really worth your time? My colleague Ian Scott has a really great saying when it comes to evaluating whether it's worth your time. He likes asking, are we getting coffee or getting a face tattoo? That phrase really captures, is this a small decision or a big decision? Other questions you can ask yourself is whether this is really a once-in-a-lifetime or once-in-a-long-time thing, or if you'll have a new opportunity to make a new decision fairly quickly or fairly soon. I was on another podcast called Catching the Next Wave, where my colleagues Aga and Lukasz likened to decision-making and figuring out whether it is worth dedicating the energy to thinking about how expensive would it be to clean up the mess after making a decision and things aren't turning out the way that you want. So again, not all decisions are created equal. Some will be really worth your time to think through the process, and some simply aren't. So ask yourself, how much time and energy do I really have? And which are the few decisions that I really want to concentrate my system to deliberate thinking on? So once you've decided which are the decisions you really care about, what do you do with the rest? I remember when I was getting married, one of my friends gave me the best wedding planning advice ever. She said, pick the top five things you care about and let go of the rest. It's similar to the advice that I would give all of you, but I also want to leave you with some tools of dealing with the rest of those decisions that are not worthy of your time. The first thing you can do is decide in advance or front load your decision making so that you can just set it and forget it. One example of this is instead of deciding every single meal, what is it that you're going to eat? Create a plan in advance. There are lots of resources online where you can create a plan for the month, and so that eliminates all of the decision-making you need to make on a weekly basis when it comes to grocery shopping, and then on a daily basis when it comes to meal making. Another example of this is when you auto-deposit into various investment accounts. Instead of having to make that investment decision every single time that you're getting new money, if you set it up in advance, you can set it and forget it. Another way that you can minimize the energy that you use on those smaller decisions is to come up with rule-based heuristics. In the book Paradox of Choice by Barry Schwartz, he talked about how he had a colleague who had a rule-based heuristic for choosing electronics purchases. When he walked into a store and needed to buy a stereo, he would just go with the second most expensive. Another way you can do this is to simply flip a coin. Heads means this choice, tails means this choice. A third way that you can deal with these decisions that you don't want to spend energy on is to outsource or crowdsource them. Let someone else decide, within guidelines if you want to set them. But really, once you give them guidelines, let them decide so you don't have to spend the energy on it. I remember during our wedding, playlist was something that I did not want to spend energy on, and so we crowdsourced it. We asked all of our guests to submit a couple songs that they wanted to hear, and that's how that decision was made. Another personal life example, in naming our firstborn, I had my partner come up with the short list. So he was the one going through that big fat book of 10,000 baby names. He came up with the short list, and so I didn't have to do that first cut. And so once he had that short list, then we went through that smaller subset together and then made the decision. So to recap, on today's episode, I covered three main things. One, I talked about how the quality of decisions are not the same as the quality of the outcome. And hopefully by knowing that and clearing that up, you can unburden yourself of some of that fear of making the wrong decision. Second, I talked about how and why it's important to delineate between the decisions that really deserve your time and attention and the ones that really don't. Third, I talked about what you can do with those decisions that don't really deserve that time and attention and slow system two thinking. You can front load your decision making so that you can set it and forget it. You can come up with rule-based heuristics so that the rules really decide instead of you in the moment. Or third, you can go ahead and delegate, outsource or crowdsource that decision-making so that you're not the one who's spending the energy. In future episodes, that's where I'll start digging into the structures and the frameworks you can use to really untangle the decisions that you've deemed worthy of that time and attention. Thank you so much for listening to the show. If you know of someone who might benefit from learning more about how to make good decisions, please send them a link to our website, askadecisionengineer.com. The website, askadecisionengineer.com, is also the place to go if you're interested in more resources on decision making or would like to submit a question to potentially be answered on a future episode. Again, this is Michelle Florendo from Ask a Decision Engineer. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode.